Everyone, Siobhan Sarna here with SIBO SOS. The SOS has come to stand for Save Ourselves. And we have a partner in that, and that is Steve Wright. I want to give you a little background briefly about Steve. He is a health engineer. He's also a traditional engineer by training. He's a dear friend of mine who helped me at the very beginning of about 5 years ago when I was like, Steve, the SIBO has irritated me and peeved me off. I need to tell the world what I have found. And he's like, okay, let me help you. And he and one of our dear friends, Jordan, we sat down and spent hours and hours together. They're friends with Dr. Allison Seebecker as well. And we helped to form this idea that then I have taken off with. And they've just been super instrumental. Oh yeah, right back at you, my friend. You may be familiar also with Steve's work with SCD Lifestyle, the specific carbohydrate diet lifestyle that he and Jordan built a whole platform around, teaching practitioners around the world about how to help people with digestive issues. The list goes on and on. One of the dreams that Steve has had over time is to create his own supplements because he is a, forgive me, Steve, if this isn't right, but I kind of call you like a biohacker slash engineer slash adventurer archaeologist. I mean, on and on. Whenever I have like a weird question about a supplement or medicine, or like I hear some obscure, crazy stuff, I'll like, okay, Steve, have you heard of this? And he'll be like, oh yeah, man, I just read this study and brrr. So that's who we're talking to right now. And it's a thrill. Thanks, Steve, for being here.
Thanks, Siobhan. Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, that's, I don't know what my title is, but I think it's, I just go on adventures and I'm endlessly curious and I like to test things on myself. And then I think I should just report back what works and what doesn't work. So whatever that is.
Whatever that is, you're working nutrition and helping so many people. Like, guys, they've helped thousands of people, probably millions, based on how many practitioners they also trained. Today, we're going to be talking about making peace, making love with food again. How's that? Let's bring some love into the picture, even with your next meal. And some of the most underrated things that I see in the Facebook community, that I see out in the world, that I wrote about in my new book, yeah, baby, best 20 bucks you're gonna spend this year on your health, is digestive enzymes. We're also gonna talk about glutamine today per a request from Carrie in the Facebook group and leaky gut. Take it away, Steve. How can I make peace and make love to my food again when I basically remember telling an old boyfriend of mine, and this is, I've been married for 16 years, so this was pre-marriage. Oh, by the way, you know, when you're interviewing and telling your future boyfriend, you're like all about yourself or girlfriend, like, oh, by the way, food makes me sick. And then we just kept going. So I've been there with everybody. So what can we do with our next meal to help us? And please go over digestive enzymes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if that's a new mission I have, it's this mission that I want people to have the possibility of eating a really wide-ranging diet. And it seems like the trend over, you know, I started in this almost 12 years ago. And so the trend recently is even more and more spotlights are being shown on various chemicals in the foods, whether they're histamine reactors or salicylates or all these different chemicals. And FODMAPs is probably the biggest one in the SIBO world, it seems like, these days. I don't know if you think that's true.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that's great, right? Like if something's like, if you have a thorn in your side, the first step is you got to remove the thorn. But if you're walking through thorn bushes every day, you want to do something different, like maybe have some protection or strengthen your capacity to walk through thorns. And so I think what I would love to talk about today is sure, we need to eliminate the foods for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, maybe a couple of months, but how do we begin to make peace and love and add them back in? And what might those foods be telling you if you're reacting to them? I think might be another way to look at it. And so I think, you know, in the Facebook group, we've talked before about stomach acid and chewing and how the first two steps of digestion really are, maybe the first three are first being in your parasympathetic, you know, being grateful, saying your prayer, whatever. This allows you to make stomach acid, enzymes, things like that. Step two then would be chewing and just trying to, you know, take the load off your stomach, making sure you're not feeding it whole walnuts, for instance. Step three would be that stomach acid, and hopefully you've attempted to correct that, or you're using some sort of betaine HCL product, whether it's ours or someone else's. If you don't do that, you use bitters, something like that. But probably the fastest shortcut into this world of tolerating more foods is enzymes. And people are probably familiar with them. They're probably bored with them, right? Like, we all want to know about, like, what's the newest, greatest herb that's going to take away my pain or take away my SIBO, or what's the biofilm buster that's going to save the day, or the probiotic strain that's going to, you know, turn me into Superman and let me dunk a basketball like LeBron James or something. I don't know, but that seems like what the marketing and the trend in the communities, at least most of the communities, you know, we have our own community. I do pop into the SIBO SOS group from time to time. And so today I want to go back to like the basics, because all that stuff is really, I think, like the foam on top of your latte. But we need to talk about like what makes up the latte, and that is enzymes.
Well, I just wanted to say, for those of you who are like, you know, I think everybody agrees with what you just said, but also think about, like, if you're constipated and you're really not drinking enough water, perhaps, not always, obviously, but like some of these basics and are so overlooked so consistently, like breathing properly, that parasympathetic state, eating at the kitchen sink, guilty occasionally. So open the heart and the mind right now and listen. And Steve's also going to go over the different enzymes that are for the each different food type, which I find so fascinating, and what the differences are and what to look for in a good digestive enzyme. Okay.
Yeah. So like, look, what is a really common way to get rid of SIBO symptoms? It's to reduce your carbohydrate intake and types of carbohydrates or fermentable foods. And so if you don't know, carbohydrates are mono, meaning one molecule, di, meaning two monos bonded together, or poly, meaning this crazy cool 3D molecule. And so most people have heard of amylase. Amylase is like your, I don't know, maybe like your marine or like your, it's like the do-it-all carbohydrate enzyme, if you will. It breaks those dyes up, it breaks the polys up, but it's not specialized. And so, you know, if you're just someone who's having regular digestive issues, you might be able to just take amylase inside of a very basic digestive enzyme preparation, maybe like a pancreatin or something, just a standard pancreatin supplement, like a Thorne makes a nice one, Dipan 9. It's a very, very basic supplement. It's not going to include any of the cool stuff I'm about to talk about. But if you're low in amylase, if your pancreas is sluggish or not working that well, it's very common to have pancreatic issues, at least enzyme activation issues, whether it's your pancreas or it's something else. So amylase is what you need for all of carbohydrates. But from there, we need to start talking about, like, are you a reactor to fruit, or do you react to cruciferous vegetables, or do you react to milk, or like what types of carbohydrates give you issues? I mean, the easy one in milk is lactose, and then you want to supplement with lactase. So if you're someone who still eats some sort of dairy and from time to time, you probably want to make sure you have lactase in your digestive enzyme, because this breaks down the milk sugar lactose. If you don't eat dairy, I mean, that's not that big of a deal to you. That's more of like a something you'd have in your purse if you were going out to eat and you wanted to have wine and cheese with the girls or something like that, whenever we can go back out and do that kind of thing. So that's a simple thing, but it gets more complex when we talk about, for instance, fruit. So sucrose is a disaccharide that's found, for instance, in apples. It's not a ton of apples. It's not like the majority, more of it's in pineapple. So if, like, for instance, you like really don't do well with pineapple, you could have a sucrose issue, or an enzyme that breaks down sucrose is sucrase. And so you could have a sucrase issue, and that's a brush border enzyme. So where SIBO seems to preferentially harm the enzyme production is in the brush border. And if you've been, get Siobhan's book, number one, if you read through the book, if you listen to any of these talks, you're going to know that the SIBO is creating metabolic byproducts, as well as just generalized local inflammation in your small intestine. Now, inside there are these villi. These villi do a lot of things. One of the things they do, you have the little fingers that like basically 10x the volume of your small intestine. One of the things they do is they shoot off these brush border enzymes, and they're super easily mangled. You know, they can easily be run over by a parasite, SIBO, inflammation, something. And so it's easy to lose your brush border capacity, I think. Now, we don't have any cool tests. I can't tell you to go take an OAT test or some sort of cool test. We don't have any tests for this yet that I'm aware of. If someone's listening who knows of a test from somebody, I'm all ears to keep learning. But at this point in time, there's no way for us to say, take this test. This shows you which brush border enzyme you're low in or you're not making. But if you use types of foods, you can begin to understand that. Now, one thing would be like white rice versus sweet potatoes, right? Like everybody in the paleo world is like, oh, eat the sweet potatoes. They're better for you, right? And if you compare white rice and sweet potato in their nutrition content, you'll find that there's potentially more nutritional value in a sweet potato. But in this world, it's all about what we can actually break down and use. And so white rice is a really, really basic food. It doesn't have a lot of maltose in it. Maltose is another type of disaccharide, like complex of carbohydrates. And so some people wonder like, well, why can I do white rice, but I can't do sweet potatoes? Well, it could be because you don't have enough maltase, which is a brush border enzyme that breaks down maltose. It's a, you know, polycarbohydrate structure. And so these are like little interesting nuggets that if you're trying to figure out like, why do I keep fighting my foods? One of them could be these enzymes. So, I'm going to pause for a minute so you can.
I saw one of the ads on Facebook and was really interested in this because I don't always think that way. I think, oh, it's a carb, right? And just move on. And oh, I try to do the proper portion within my, you know, SIBO specific food guide. And, you know, I'm constantly expanding my diet. But what happened to me the other day was I have this new juicer. Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with this juicer. It's an Omega, which is a masticating juicer, which is really like the most efficient way of getting juice. And it's a really easy to clean one, which anybody who's ever juiced knows that that's like the gold standard, get one that's masticating and easy to clean. And I like, of course, went crazy with my portion, had too much of the juice because I was stoked because it was new and, you know, oh, fresh juice. And I was like, oh, my stomach, it just was too much for me. Like, you should not drink this much juice if you, you know, in general, it would be great. But I mean, my system just went. So the next day I was still enthusiastic. I was still juicing and I'm like, why didn't I take my Holzymes? Like, duh. So I took my Holzymes, which is the enzymes that I really adore from Steve. There are a lot of good brands, but Steve's is different, I have to say, which is why I'm really happy to be sharing this with you. And totally fine. No problem. So I was just able to put fruit and veggies and celery juice, which is tricky. And it was totally free of any stress whatsoever. I was like, yes, that's such a win, right? Like a healthy food that doesn't fight you back, that you love, that's like what life is supposed to be like. And it was a big relief. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I mean, I think that's why, that's exactly the type of stories for which Holozyme, why I labored to figure this out. Because I too struggled.
Oh yeah. Steve has an amazing, like an amazing set of stories. Is that still on your site? How can someone go and read your story, Steve?
I think I took down some of it. So yeah, there's an about us on healthygut.com, but I think I removed a lot of the gory details.
Okay. Yeah, it was brutal, you guys. Like for those of you who've been seriously traumatized by your digestive incidents and scenarios and social interactions, like Steve's been there, done that through, you know, like a lot of war stories. As we move on to happier times, what is it about the enzyme world that you discovered when you were like, you know, I think there's a better way, because not all enzymes are created equally. So that's like so interesting, right? Like why aren't all enzymes just by their inherent nature, wouldn't they be created equally? and supplements.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people inside of everyone's Facebook groups and who are very smart individuals, and they look at the labels of these different enzymes. They're like, well, this one has 50,000 units of protease and this one has 60,000 units. So I'm going to put my hard-earned money in the one that's stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Or this one has more, what did we just talk about? More sucrase. So I'm going to buy the one with more sucrase. And that's what I thought as well. And it just didn't pan out. Like I bought many brands, like every brand I could think of, over 30 brands, just trying to find the highest strength of amylase, the highest strength of protease, all of these types of enzymes. And the results just didn't bear out with myself. And then with the people, like Siobhan's not the only one that I get a text from or get a call from, like, hey, have you heard of this crazy thing out of Russia? And I'm like, oh yeah, I was using that last year. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just how I do things. So, but I always check back in, like, and Siobhan hopefully can corroborate this of like, I'm always like, hey, what's working? Like, what have you heard about recently? Cause I'm always trying to this farm good ideas. So I started asking everybody, what enzyme are you using? What, like, which brands do you rely on? And it was just all over the board. So I figured I'll just make the strongest thing anyone's ever conceived. Like whatever I can find, I'll just 20%, 30% more. And that'll be Healthy Guts enzyme. And I tried to get it made. I made this monster formula with every enzyme I could think of with like 30 to 50% more than any brand ever had before. The quotes were $30 to $40 a bottle, just like manufacturing costs, not even like if you count anything else. And the enzyme manufacturer guy told me that I might harm myself or other people if this was made. And so I was like, what does that mean? And so I started asking him and other PhDs, like, okay, explain this. How could it harm someone? What are you talking about? And that led me to buy every book I could ever find that's been published on enzymes, going back into like the 1800s and trying to figure out what are enzymes? Where do they come from? How do they work? And one of the biggest things I learned talking to these PhDs is that animal-based enzymes are whole enzymes, WHOLE. They're an enzyme plus a mineral together packaged in a little bundle, and that they get turned on by the pH of the environment they're in. And they're not always on, they're not always off. It's a scale, but in general, they do most of their work, 80% of their job in a certain range. And that's kind of how the nature kind of controls things. And if you get a microbe-based or a vegetarian-based enzyme, these are grown in the lab and they are not from animals. They're literally from vegetarian sources. So they are not a whole enzyme. They're an APO. APO in science means without. So they're an enzyme without the mineral, without the cofactor that turns them on. So the cool thing about APO enzymes is they don't have as much pH restriction, right? Because they're less of a walking, I don't want to say the word bomb because that's not the right word, but they're less of a package ready to do their job. They still need some fuel. So I think part of the reasons why nature works the way it does is an APO enzyme can work in a big pH range, like from like say 2 to 10 or 2 to 8 or something like that. But it needs a mineral. So it's less, it can be in a capsule. It can be all over the place and not go crazy. And what happened is I finally started to unfold that enzymes that are made in Asia are made in a different process and have a different strength than the ones made in Europe, than the ones made in America. So I started to learn that everybody has their own enzyme manufacturing standards and scales on how they measure things. And the supplement manufacturer or creator in America doesn't need to standardize to a certain scale. So if you buy it from Asia, whatever the manufacturer there says, if it says 50,000 units of protease, it's the Asian scale. But we still put it on the US label as 50,000, even though we're not sure that it could test at 50,000 in the US. So I learned that number one, the US has the highest standard for testing, and you want your enzymes made raw, the raw ingredient you want made here, sourced here, extracted here. Otherwise they could be on a different strength scale. So your label, the back of your label might not even be to what it says, but it's technically legal. And then they're not necessarily, I don't think, being super nefarious. They're just being lazy. and cheap. So I learned that. And then I learned about this APO whole thing. And so I ran into another PhD who was like, yeah, I solved this. I sat in a lab and I put the enzyme in there, and then I tried different types of magnesium, like magnesium glycinate, magnesium glucarate. And then he put magnesium citrate in there and it went boom. And like everything like worked really well with the enzymes. And so he created a patent 19 years ago now on this. He like tried to sell it to drug companies. Nobody really wanted it. And he wasn't very good at creating his own brand. He's more of a scientist than he is a business builder. And so we were able to partner together, and I was able to license that patent and upgrade the formula to be a little bit more digestive, health friendly, and have a little bit higher, for instance, higher dose of cellulase. And I wanted to add alpha galactidase, which are both really, really important if you're someone who struggles with vegetables or legumes, super important for bloating.
So important. Let's slow down for a second. So okay. I left my bottle downstairs in the kitchen, but what for whole times, will you just show the front of the bottle for me, please? And okay, how did you meet this PhD who had discovered this combination 19 years ago? Like just through your network? I'm just curious, because I'm always curious about how people meet.
Just pure luck. Pure grace, basically, pure grace. I was trying to find all the manufacturers who do enzyme manufacturing in the United States, because manufacturer after manufacturer either kept quoting me very high, or they said they couldn't do it, or they said it wasn't possible. And I talked with somebody and they had done supplement manufacturing before. And they're like, hey, there's an enzyme guy over in Utah. You should go talk to him. And they introduced us.
So. I love that. I love that so much. So they're vegetarian based. He added, so they're that APO, that he added the magnesium citrate, the mineral that then allows it to be released. And people are asking, like, how do you figure out which enzyme is right for you? So this combination, Steve, I mean, most of us aren't eating, some of us are, don't get me wrong. I know people are struggling. That's why I'm doing this, because I've been there, but a lot of us are trying to transition from mono food meals, meaning just one meal, one food at the meal. So you're eating a combination. So that's why a digestive enzyme like Holozymes that has the combination is appropriate. But can you slowly go over what protease is, what amylase is, like meaning here's protease that digests, boom, 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 back and forth, please.
Sure. Yeah. So proteases digest proteins.
Easy way to remember it. That's good.
Proteins. It doesn't matter where the protein comes from. It could be lentils or it could be beef. Okay. Protease works on all of those. You might be familiar with amino acids. When protease is done doing its job, what you're left with are amino acids. So that's how protein works. Amylase. Amylase is a carbohydrate. It's the broad spectrum carbohydrate enzyme. So carbohydrates of all. So that includes, there's carbohydrates in vegetables, there's carbohydrates in fruits, there's carbohydrates in starches, basically all over the place. Lipase is for fats. So lipase and bile salts work together to break down fats, and that's fat from any source. Lipase is the main and kind of like, it's bile salts and lipase do all the fat work. There's no extra super special enzymes when it comes to fat. It's really the carbohydrates that get in the vegetable fruit that get super weird and deep. So we talked about lactose. So lactose is a milk sugar, that's lactase. We talked about sucrase. That is a disaccharide. So it breaks down sucrose in lots of different carbohydrate structures. Again, you can just Google like high sucrose foods, high sucrose vegetables, things like that. You can find out if you react to any of those. Let's see, cellulase. Cellulase breaks down the cell wall of plants. So the outer structure, cellulose, cellulase. So the outer wall. So if you want to release the phytonutrients inside of the apple, the apple skin needs to be broken down by the cellulase. Then amylase and sucrase are going to do the jobs on most of the sugars. There'll probably be a little bit more sugar metabolism by some other enzymes as well. Maltase breaks down a different carbohydrate structure called maltose, a different type of sugar molecule. You can Google that. Maltose is sweet potatoes, corn. I have to check the white potato content. I didn't come fully prepared on all of these yet. So that's maltase. Alpha-galactase, that is the, if you ever heard of Beano, and you like, you know, like people make jokes about that it's movie. Okay.
We know. Beano is, by the way, Beano is not vegetarian. For those of you who are, you know, a lot of people eat who are vegetarians eat beans for protein. It does have shellfish in it. So there's something called Beanzyme on Amazon that I switched to, but talk to me about, is that also in your formula?
Yeah. So there's 400 GALU in our formula, which I believe is the low dose version of Beano. That's the same amount. I'd have to check. Beano also has a high dose, which is 1200, which means you'd have to take 6 holozymes, but ours is fully vegetarian. We don't have any shellfish or anything in ours. Alpha-galactase is super important if you are a cruciferous vegetable person. So that means broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, that whole family. You're going to need lots of cellulase and you're going to need lots of alpha-galactase. So if you're someone who, like, for a while I was, like, man, broccoli would just, no one wants to be around me. I'm not even talking about lentils or beans. So
here's a tool to like really broaden our diets. This is big.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can use all the extra. That's part of what I wanted to do is try to pack as much into one capsule, because I know it just gets expensive and it's super annoying and hard to remember. Like, okay, if I'm eating this food, I need to have this one off the shelf. And anyways, so that's why I put that in there, because I personally, struggle with it a little bit as well. So if you're ever wondering, there are others out there. So there's all types of proteases out there. Depending, you'll see like, well, this one's a peptidase, or this one's a protease 4, this one's a DPP this, or something like that. So there are some specialty proteases. Most of them are describing whether they came from plants or animals, or describing the pH range that they work in. A protease 4 works mostly in the pH range of 4. 6 works in mostly in the 6. So ours are active, are the this patented active blend. So basically we use 2 different types of proteases. They work across from 2 to 11.7 on the pH scale. So basically, even if your stomach acid is not working, you're going to start to break down your protein. But if you see that on labels, that's what they're doing. They're trying to take different types of proteases and sort of cover that entire pH range. There are specialty enzymes for grains. You might see DPPIV or DPP4. That comes out of a pepsidase extraction. It's super expensive. And frankly, I used it for years. I thought I did something. And then when I was trying to manufacture this enzyme, I wanted to put everything I could in there. So I actually went back and read all the original research on DPPIV. And I was pretty underwhelmed. There's never been a comparison study of just protease versus DPPIV to see how well it does on milk proteins or grain proteins. Like, there's a lot of speculation that there's not a difference. There might be, but on just gluten and grain related things, we're talking, my opinion of the research, we're talking maybe 10 to 20% improvement on your ability to digest those things. So if you're a super sensitive person, or you already know you're gluten sensitive, DPPIV is not going to save the day, I don't believe, personally. You know, I don't have it in our product. Other people have it in their products. They talk about it a lot. Do your own research, do your own testing. I'm sure it works for some people. I know in the autism community, sometimes having a ton of DPPIV can really change a child's life. So I'm not saying that it's completely a bad product in any way, but I'm just saying we only have so many capsules we can swallow, how many dollars we can spend. Yeah. So there's another one out called Telomerase G. It has much better research, in my opinion, looking at it for gluten digestion. It's newer, it's more expensive, but if you're looking for like a gluten digester to protect yourself, try to find something with telomerase G in it. Holozymes does not have that.
Okay. Okay, a couple of things. So just to connect some of the dots, if you have IBS and SIBO, you're trying to eat low FODMAP, you're trying to cope beyond low FODMAP, and why? So you can diversify your diet, so you can live more socially and enjoy food more, and get bigger nutrition payoff because you're eating more food with more, you know, minerals and vitamins and all of that. But then also you want to eat as a diverse diet as possible so that you can be feeding your microbiome, right? And this is a microbiome condition. By the way, if anyone listening to this has not gone to the announcement section of the Facebook group or didn't open their email or didn't go to the SIBO SOS YouTube channel to see the most recent, like as in really last week, recent Dr. Mark Pimentel from MAST at Cedars-Sinai research update, please do so, because combined with what we're talking about today and what Dr. Pimentel talked about on Monday, you will feel hopeful, right? So like that people were like, I've never had more people email me after a session than last week. And that's saying a lot because I get a lot of emails from everybody. So please watch that. And if you're one of those people like, I need science, science is the only way. I need science. I only hear people say, you know, try this, maybe it'll work, whatever. I need science. Okay, fine. That's fine. I love science too. My book is packed with science, blah, blah. So watch that because it will give you so much hope and about what he's been doing to map the microbiome, and you'll understand why, you know, why and how the mechanisms of SIBO work and don't work. Add that with what Steve's talking about. We do have a discount available that Steve has given us for Holozymes, and Clarissa isn't behind the scenes and she is going to post it. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, the SIBO SOS podcast season 2, then there'll be a
healthy
link.
It's healthygut.com/SOSHOL. So healthygut.com/SOSHOL, all lowercase. And that will get you.
Yeah, okay. All lowercase. Mm-hmm. And so you just go to that page and that will automatically activate the coupon at checkout. So I just saw Clarissa post it in the chat. Thank you. If you're on Zoom, she'll post it in the Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, we'll put it in the show notes with the podcast. Okay. So, and then I'm going to send an email out to anyone who's listening to this live right now and on our list. Can he repeat that again for the coupon? Marie, go to the chat in your Zoom and it should be a link right there. It's just like click the link. You don't even have to type it in. It autofills, right, Steve?
Correct. Yep. Autofills right at checkout. healthygut.com/SOSHOL.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So Marie, we asked, answer your question about how to figure out which enzyme is right for you. He's been talking about the bouquet in this combination. Do enzymes help with intestinal methanogen overgrowth, IMO? Can I just address that, Steve, real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So here's how my opinion it would help, is that anything you can do to break down your nutritional building blocks is going to help, because then you're going to feel better. It does not actively, it's not like a SIBO treatment, right? It's a complementary therapy with your SIBO treatments. Maybe you're doing Atrantil, which is all natural. People were asking me that today earlier. Maybe you're in a antibiotic combination right now. Maybe you're doing elemental diet. So remember, you're not wanting to do supplements with the elemental diet. You just want to do the elemental diet. Talk to your practitioner, maybe get Christy Regan, our lovely SIBO nutritionist, to help you out there. I mean, get into the book, go to the Facebook group, The book is Healing SIBO, by the way. Those of you listening and didn't see me lift it up. There are things you can do to help with the IMO. And in the meanwhile, those archaea and the bacteria, if you're doing hydrogen or hydrogen sulfide, they're eating your food, right? So your nutritional payoff and return on investment is not as high. So anything you can do to help break the food down into amino acids so your body can absorb them. And remember, the elemental diet is amino acids. And if you don't know what the elemental diet is, it's one of the three treatments for SIBO and IMO. And it's a liquid diet that is originally designed for feeding tubes that tasted disgusting. Now they have better tasting formulations. So that's a short answer there for you. But so it does help in terms of IMO and SIBO, hydrogen and hydrogen sulfide. Steve, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, it's. I think more and more where this is going to go over the next 5 years is we're going to stop talking about these special killing protocols and biofilm protocols, and we're going to start talking about creating the right environment for a healthy small intestine. And whatever you're setting the conditions with the environment. If you live in a moldy house, you're never probably going to be healthy. Your environment is dictating your health doesn't matter what you do. The same thing is true with enzymes. They're modifying the environment to create the healthiest small intestine that you can have. And so whatever that is, if it's a IMO or a, you know, archaea overgrowth or a fungal overgrowth, you're changing the environment in a known healthy direction. And so I think that's where the support is coming in at. And that's, I guess, my mission over the next year or two is just be like, look, use all the cool herbs. I've used them too. I have a whole cabinet full of them. I try them all the time. But if the environment's wrong, you'll just be chasing your tail every month for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing, you guys, I want to encourage you to go to the link that's in the chat so you can get this great discount that Steve is offering us. Try it. What if we don't like it, Steve? What's the deal? What if we think, oh, it doesn't work?
Yeah, well, first I would encourage you to reach out to us at, you know, support at Healthy Gut or in our Facebook group, because we're actually building a company where we try to help you find the right dosage for your body and your condition. So we are really want to know our people and how they're using it. And then we report out to our doctors and our practitioners who use this product to help them. So we would like to have an interaction with you. If you don't want to talk to us, that's great. Just email us and we'll refund you. Because digestive enzymes, I think you should be taking them whether you have SIBO or don't have SIBO. I think they're really amazing tools to use in this world. And if ours aren't the right brand for you for some reason, that's okay.
Also, somebody's asking Patrice about betaine. I'm going to direct you to a talk Steve gave us. It's in the Facebook group under media, and we talked about HCL. Also, you'll find Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis talks about HCL in some of his talks, and they're also in the media section. I'm so sorry, I ran out of time. I double booked myself today by accident. I'm honored to go do an Instagram live with Bree Weisselman. And so I'm gonna go do that right now. It starts in literally 5 minutes. And I wanted to quickly ask you one more question, Steve. Okay, Joanne, it sounds like you're really struggling with not getting enough calories. So I'm wondering, okay, your elemental diet worked, but you had to stop because too much detoxing. Yeah, the struggle is real. There's no doubt about it. One thing that I know a lot of people do with the elemental diet is they use it as a meal. It's just like, if you're, let's say you do 3 meals a day, you use the elemental diet as a rest meal, kind of, because it's so easy on the digestion. Steve, the other question, just real quick, is what if... Okay, so Moshi takes digestive enzymes daily as a preventative and to get the most out of my food. Great, have for years. Awesome. Would you encourage this for people like me without digestive issues?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think if you want to maximize your food, if you want to live as long as you can and have as much energy as you can, then yeah.
Yeah. So I have a hard time with compliance. Steve will tell you that. He encourages me to be compliant. I have every single pill holder in the world. I have timers. I have reminders on my phone. I just, I don't like taking pills. So I think a lot of times, like, I'll just trip myself up because I don't like the experience. Of course, I love the result, but I do struggle with compliance. So this is what I did. I got multiple bottles of the Holozymes. I put one on the kitchen table. I put one at my desk because I eat at my desk a lot. I put one in the living room next to the couch where I sometimes nosh. And therefore, when I'm eating, I don't have to be like, oh, man, I just sat down. I don't want to get up. And I just go for the bottle and, you know, it's right there. So that's my suggestion for you. It works for me. I hope it works for you in terms of a little system. I love you all. I love you, Steve. Thank you so much for being here. I hope this helps everybody. Please go find Steve's other presentations that he's done for us in the Facebook group under media. And we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for being here and part of the SIBO SOS community. It stands for Save Ourselves. It used to mean, dear goodness, someone come and save me. But that's not reality. We have to work with our friends, our advocates, our professionals, and ourselves to indeed save ourselves. So glad you guys are here. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Don't forget about the book, Healing SIBO, at Amazon. If you get it and like it, please leave a review. And be well, everyone. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you. Oh, hey, Steve, you know what? Before you leave,
yeah.
Sorry. We were supposed to talk about glutamine. So will you do me a favor and make a short video and in Zoom or whatever by yourself and shoot it over, and then I can post it in the Facebook group, and I'll also throw it into the podcast.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye, bye everybody. Joanne, Dr. Pimentel isn't seeing people right now, but he has four other doctors at Cedars-Sinai who are seeing people. And so just go, literally you can go to the Cedars-Sinai link of their Facebook, you know, not Facebook, their website, and talk, type in, I think it's the Motility clinic, and there are people there. But there also is a huge speaker list at the Facebook group and SIBOSOS.com with people who are doing telemedicine who are also SIBO specialists. Love you, bye. Steve, it's, I think, thehealthygut.com. Now, our dear friend Rebecca Coombs also has a website that's very similar. So one of them's The Healthy Gut and one of them's Healthy Gut. Either way, you get great information. Steve is healthygut.com. I gotta go. Okay, bye. Thanks.